This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. Glad you're back with us on the Mark Cox Morning Show. A few minutes after 8, congratulations to our winners earlier of the Guns N' Hoses tickets. We're going to be giving those away every day this week. And it's coming up the day before Thanksgiving. So I hope you are planning to attend, and maybe you'll win tickets this week, but there's still tickets available. And we hope you can get those go. We're the official radio station of Guns N' Hoses. And, of course, they're going to be airing it, I believe, on Fox 2. But being there in person, there's nothing quite like it. It's going to be fate.
I'm great. Going for my very first time.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, so great. And all of the, a lot of the people in the crowd are obviously first responders, police officers, firefighters there to cheer on the boxers. And it's just a fantastic environment. Just so much pride. And I love going down there. It's been a tradition now for us for several years, and we'll continue that in the future. By the way, speaking of first responders, it is our ATF raffle is going on right now with Responder Rescue, and you can text the word responder to 33100 on your phone, and they'll send you a link, and when you click on it, you can go there and sign up for the to win. Buy tickets, $10 minimum purchase, but if you buy more than that, you get free tickets, and then we have a winner for three different people. We'll pick a winner, three winners on the day before Thanksgiving. In fact, the morning of Guns N' Hoses, we will go out there and pick a winner at the Range St. Louis West. So thank you for that. More details on our first responder Thanksgiving coming up at the end of the show here. Up next, we're going to get to Jesse Jane Duff, fresh back from Mar-a-Lago, probably hanging out with Sylvester Stallone and all those cool people down there. And, of course, President-elect Donald Trump. We're going to get her take on that at about 8:20. And Tom Ackerman in here at the bottom of the hour with more on Chiefs heartbreaker last night at the hands of the Buffalo Bills. They don't lose to the Bills very often, but they did last night in unfortunately kind of spectacular fashion. So we'll get to him on more of that in a minute. But first, I want to get to the short list.
The Mark Cox short list.
Joe and I realize it's time to do something different. And that starts with not only talking about Donald Trump, but also talking with him.
How about that? How much do you think Donald Trump enjoyed that meeting where Joe and Mika had to sit in front of him and grovel to try to get back in his good graces for 4 years because they've been so horrible to him for the last seven?
Look, we're not going to be cutting ribbons. We're going to be cutting costs. Over $500 trillion that's spent every year right now was not even authorized by Congress in the first place.
Woo! Vivek is already looking at places where they can cut. He's like, listen, spending is an executive action, right? There are lots of things we can do executively, that is, President Trump can do to save the country maybe billions of dollars.
Somebody like that's emboldened by Trump. And the profile was so normal.
Boy, libs of TikTok is a true gift. This is a lefty melting down, apparently scared to use a dating app now for fear that she might end up on a date with somebody who voted for somebody she doesn't like.
Well, look, I hope that the Ethics Committee will stick by our tradition and protocol for the reasons I just articulated. I think this would take us down a path where I don't know how we'd return.
Wow, how about that? Speaker Johnson yesterday on whether or not the Ethics Committee should release the findings of its report on Matt Gaetz. Of course they shouldn't. And it's not about covering up anything. If Matt Gaetz was guilty of anything, a federal prosecutor would have filed charges against him years ago. This has been around since before his term in Congress. Part of the allegations were from when he was a legislator in the state of Florida. No state prosecutor has gone after him. No federal prosecutor has gone after him because clearly, whether you like the man or don't like the man, there's not enough evidence of them to find any that he did anything wrong. Lots of smoke. If there was fire, a prosecutor would be all over it. Look at what they did in New York. They convicted Donald Trump of something nobody had ever been even charged with before. So first of all, if the report should not be released by the Ethics Committee because he's no longer a member of Congress, he resigned. So, Mike, that's what Mike Johnson was talking about. Of course, what have they come up with now, right? What they've come up with now is, oh, but what about Pete Hegseth? He signed a do not disclose agreement with a woman who claimed he sexually assaulted her. Okay, but so did Donald Trump, and there was no lawsuit, right? There were no charges in that case. She never filed a charge, anything like that. Mm-hmm. The point here is all of these people are attacking Donald Trump's picks because they're Donald Trump's picks. Plain and simple. Not about any content that would prevent them from doing the job they've been nominated for. This Rachel Bade is with Politico. She's a reporter. She was on this morning and she was pointing out something that I said last week. And just to back it up, I'll let you listen to it. Listen to this.
Donald Trump is going to be wanting to advance, you know, tax cuts, put, you know, up new legislation potentially on the border in Congress. He's going to be putting a lot of energy toward getting these people over the finish line. I mean, you can imagine a situation where a lot of these women who have made these allegations against these candidates, you know, this woman who went to the House Ethics Committee and said that Gaetz had sex with her when she was a minor, this conservative woman who said that Pete Hegseth assaulted her at a conference. You can imagine a scenario where Democrats are pushing for them and wanting them to come to the Hill. And this is going to make the Brett Kavanaugh hearing sort of look like child's play compared to what we're going to see.
Right.
Yeah. Remember the people in the hallway chasing Republican senators onto the elevator, crying and screaming at them about Brett Kavanaugh. And it was all smoke. There was never a single shred of evidence that Brett Kavanaugh did anything wrong.
It's like the boy who cried wolf. You know, you want to, everyone says, well, believe the victims, believe women. Okay, well, you do want to believe them, but I'm sorry. I feel like even as a woman, a lot of these people are just angry that in this case, Pete Hegseth has been, you know, put in a position that's going to be very important, and they want to take him down.
If it doesn't come up until the point in their life where they're about to achieve something and you see a way of stopping them from doing that, it wasn't that traumatic to begin
but
with.
Pete has denied anything happened. And they're saying the reason that he paid her off is because he knows that a case like this, even if there's no truth to it, it is detrimental to your career because there's still widespread coverage of it. He's a political figure, right? He is an anchor on Fox. So this would still be covered and it could hurt his career. So his way of handling it, even though he's denied it, is to say, I'm just going to basically pay this off, I guess, to squash it. Because I don't think he's denying
it. And if she signed that
the woman
and she took a payment in return for it, she can't very well go testify in front of the Senate on it. I mean, I wouldn't think. But it's very clear that he was in denial that anything happened. Mm-hmm. These things are a lot more common than you think. I just have to say, a lot of people with a lot on the line have found themselves in that position. And it's unfortunate in American politics that this will be another Kavanaugh-like situation. But you know it will, because the drop and flops are only beginning to start here. Coming up, Jesse Jane Duff. She, of course, was the head of Veterans for Trump during this campaign. They had a lot to celebrate the other night in Mar-a-Lago. We'll ask her about it straight ahead.
So first is we want to go right in through executive action to do the failures of the executive branch that need to be addressed. Because the dirty little secret right now, Maria, is the people we elect to run the government, they're not the ones who actually run the government. It's the unelected bureaucrats in the administrative state. That was created through executive action. It's going to be fixed through executive action.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Jesse Jane Duff, fresh back from Mar-a-Lago. I don't know. Maybe you're still in Mar-a-Lago, laying by the pool. What's going on?
Oh, my goodness. They don't. I'm lucky I get in, but they make sure I get out. I just want you all to know that. There's no overnight stay for the gunnery sergeant at Mar-a-Lago. It's, you're welcome for a while. Your time is expired. Please depart the area.
Were you there? Were you there when Joe and Mika showed up?
No, I wasn't. That's probably what, you know, Trump is going to hire me for his personal pit bull, I have a feeling. Not security, just personal pit bull, you know. Those two, my gosh, how did they pull that off?
I don't know.
My goodness.
And I said, I'm why shocked. Would even Trump even meet with them, given the stuff they've said about him over the past 7 years? But maybe it's just because he's kind of drawn to celebrity, I think. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Right. Well, he's a smart man. He knows that he needs media in order to survive himself. He also has that mindset. And you know what? It's his opportunity to say, I told you so. And it's his opportunity to say what he wants to say to them directly.
Do you think he would extend the same invitation to, say, some of the anchors on, I don't know, CNN or ABC? Is this going to be the new thing?
I would never be able to predict President Trump. If that were the case, who would have imagined everything that he went through just to become president again, number 47? Even he didn't realize that it was going to be that aggressive and that egregious and that horrific. So to invite CNN reporters to Mar-a-Lago, anything's possible at this point. You know, I didn't have a lot of things on my bingo card. Obviously, I wasn't yelling bingo because I did not predict 95% of what we have witnessed firsthand to see in this country in the last 4 years. It's been astronomical. So, yeah, CNN getting to the Mar-a-Lago wouldn't even make headline news with me today after all we've been through.
Yeah. Well, I keep watching Truth Social for your name to pop up, Jesse Jane. Are you? Have you talked to him at all about some sort of role with the Trump administration?
You know, you really have high hopes. You really need to lower your bar a little for the standard I've set. I expect that, it will not be in the headlines if there is anything.
Okay.
I do expect, I am the biggest self-deprecator because I've learned in life, if you don't expect anything, you're never disappointed. And it really is a philosophy that keeps me really calm. I don't get anxious over things. I find myself very much at peace. No matter what the president's decisions are, I stand with him because I fought too hard to help him get in the White House, not get Jesse Jane Duff in the White House. That's never been my agenda. I think I'll have a very good role somewhere, and I think it's going to be a role that's going to be to the benefit of the American people, because I truly stand by, we must all unite. If it becomes about one person and they have to be the center of attention, I would steer away from that individual, because they'll be the first one that will turn on you when things don't go well.
Yeah.
So what do you think of his cabinet picks so far? Because some people are losing their minds over Matt Gaetz.
The Matt Gaetz situation, I didn't know a lot about, to be very frank. And the little bit of research I've done shows that he was investigated by the Department of Justice for over 3 years, and they came up with nothing.
Right.
He is despised by Kevin McCarthy, who presented a lot of the allegations publicly, defamed his name. So I see somewhat of an agenda there from Kevin McCarthy. Regardless whether it was true or not, there was an agenda. Kevin McCarthy was taken out because of Matt Gaetz. So there's a personal issue there that presses this forward. But again, Merrick Garland found nothing. I think we're clear.
Yeah.
Hey, that's all I can say there. We're clear.
Before I run out of time here, I saw your selfie from Mar-a-Lago the other day with three other people. I want to know where the one is with you and Rocky Balboa, because Sylvester Stallone was there.
Listen, I took the photo. So that guy that's in that selfie, his name's Bruce Lavelle. I stood there for 5 minutes while he was yucking it up with Sylvester Stallone, holding the camera, because he says, take my picture. And I'm like, come on, come on, come on. finally, I get the photo, and I'm left with the photo of Bruce and Sylvester Stallone. I did take the photo, though. I get credit. I should have stuck my head in there and gotten in, but no. I shook his hand. I told him I love. Yeah, I did shake his hand.
Did you get to shake his hand? That's awesome. I was so thrilled when I saw him up on that stage and comparing Trump to George Washington. What an intro.
He's wonderful. He's such a, and he's very down to earth. He had a conversation with Bruce for an extended period of time. And when I introduced myself and told him I love Tulsa King, he said, who would have known? Like, he didn't expect for it to be such a hit.
A New Yorker mob boss in Tulsa, Oklahoma would become a hit. That's true. I've been watching it.
Yeah.
I've been watching it. It's
all
true.
All right, take the hill, people. We've got a great week ahead of us. Trump's going to save the United States.
I'm with you. Can't wait to see what role you play, Jesse Jane. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to her again soon, next Monday. For sure. Coming up, we'll get to Tommy Ackerman, find out what happened with Mizzou this weekend. Stay tuned.
The great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball is really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
Wow. Heartbreaker last night for the Chiefs, Tom Ackerman, and that Josh Allen, though. Hate him, love him, or hate him. What a play on fourth down. Huh?
Yeah, it's a great rivalry between the Chiefs and Bills that probably will be renewed in the playoffs.
I guess.
Just a matter of where that's going to be. That was a huge win for the Bills and a game that I thought they would get. I mean, eventually the Chiefs were going to lose one. Not that the Chiefs, you know, I hear this narrative that the Chiefs are not as good as the previous Super Bowl team. That is not true. The Chiefs are different. You know, they gut games out. They play hard, tough defense. And they found a different way to win games. They used to be considered this finesse team, just let Patrick Mahomes beat you. No, not really. I mean, they'll hit you hard. But this Buffalo team's very, very good. As talented, I think, as the Chiefs are. And so it was a huge win for Buffalo because had Kansas City won that, they're basically in the driver's seat for the number one seed in the AFC at 10-0. Now they're only a half game in front of the Bills. Had they won that game, the road to the Super Bowl probably goes through Arrowhead Stadium, which is very, very difficult for anybody to challenge, whether that's the Bills or the Ravens or the Steelers or whoever's going to try to rise up.
And it might still, right?
It might still. I mean, right now, technically it is. But Buffalo is that much closer to getting that for themselves. I think the best team in the NFL is actually over in the NFC. I think it's Detroit. Detroit Lions are ridiculous. So they smoked Jacksonville 52-6. And I know that Jacksonville is not a good team, but this is the NFL. I mean, you don't win games 52-6 in the NFL. So watch out for them. But, yeah, it was a good day. Good day of football.
Yeah.
Not a good day for Mizzou, though.
No, you know, in Mizzou, I thought maybe here we go again. This could be, as we said, what is their identity? Their identity is they pull a rabbit out of the hat and they win games. You know, they win games and find a way. And with seconds to go, they connect with Luther Burden about a minute to go. They hit Luther Burden for a touchdown from Brady Cook, who finds a way to get himself onto the field. And they are winning the game, and they get the two-point conversion.
And so wasn't that a one-handed catch that he made?
It was an awesome catch.
And
then he breaks the tackle and goes into the end zone, and it's 30-27 after the two-pointer. And the Mizzou defense just can't hold them. You know, they can't tackle. They can't hold them. And five touchdown passes against them by their quarterback at South Carolina, Sellers.
They knew they didn't need to go for the kick.
Rocket Sanders, that last touchdown, he throws a little shovel pass, and Sanders, I counted like four broken tackles. He's a really good running back, but he breaks four tackles, goes into the end zone. It was so loud there that Tom Hart, who called the game on TV, told me yesterday that it registered like on the seismograph.
No kidding.
On campus. Yeah. It was
wow.
Like, you know, it rumbled the ground. And they won the game. South Carolina is one of the hottest teams in the country. Mizzou almost knocked them off, but you know, that's just the way the season has gone for them. Three tough road losses. This one was the closest easily. They got blown out by A&M and Alabama, but they're 7-3. They got a chance to finish 9-3, go to a nice bowl, maybe 10-3. Back-to-back double-digit win seasons is pretty good.
Indiana's still undefeated?
Yes, they are.
I thought so.
Had the weekend off.
They did. They were off this weekend. Okay.
They just sat back and, you know, watched these teams go at it. They're 10-0, and they will visit Ohio State on Saturday.
Ooh,
it is
baby.
Ohio State week, baby.
The Ohio State.
Fifth-ranked Indiana against number 2 Ohio State. And it has been years and years of coming up short against Ohio State, and it's time for some payback.
Well, they beat Michigan. That was some payback right there, right?
They beat Michigan. Yeah. It was a very good win for them. It was the only win of the year that they've had that wasn't by double digits or by 14 points or more. It was a five-point win, and Michigan's defense played really well. And Indiana's defense played really well. And so they ended up winning the game 20-15. They found a way, and they beat Michigan in front of their home crowd. It was just incredible. So now they're 10-0, and they will be a big underdog against Ohio State.
Will they?
Yeah, they are. They're an 11.5-point underdog at Ohio State. Ohio State's, you know, a beast. They're playing
at home. I might
take
Indiana in the points on that.
Well, let me give you a little reason why you might want to think about that. Just one common opponent to talk about.
Okay.
Nebraska. Nebraska, respectable opponent, went into Columbus, played them tough, and Ohio State won the game. 21-17, great win for Ohio State. A good win. You know, good, solid Big Ten win. Indiana beat Nebraska 56-7. Just so we're clear. Indiana smoked Nebraska. Indiana is capable of scoring very quickly. They have a very good defense. I'm not making any predictions. I'm just saying that Indiana will be prepared and will be ready to go for this game. Now, whether they get outmatched, that's, you know, up to
and
what
it's
happens
at
in
Ohio
those 60
State,
minutes.
Which
and it's at Ohio State,
pumps
but
them up.
As Nick Saban said many, many times, that's a very loud, big crowd, but not one of those people will run one play in this football game. Not one of those people in that crowd will be involved in a play. So, you know, if you're Kurt Cignetti, who, by the way, signed an 8-year contract extension. Indiana got that done. If you're Cignetti, you tell your players this is each play is its own separate thing. And this is all about each play executing at the highest level. And then you see what happens, what comes out of it. I expect a very good football game, but then again, I'm an Indiana fan, and that's what I'm hopeful for.
Right.
A loss doesn't kill Indiana. They beat Purdue. They're going to be 11-1. And an opportunity, I think, to be in the college football playoff. A blowout loss at Ohio State will change people's perception of Indiana, I think. So that's what you want to avoid. But if I told Indiana that, they would scoff, and Kurt Cignetti would be like, what are you talking about? What loss?
Tom,
we're going in there to win the game.
Did you watch the Tyson fight?
I did. I watched the Tyson fight at a really cool dive bar in Valley Park that I'm sure some of our listeners have been to, called The Fireplace.
Okay.
Love The Fireplace.
Did they have streaming problems at The Fireplace?
First time at The Fireplace. Yeah, Netflix did. Got a little glitchy, but for the most part, we watched
it. A little glitchy. You're being really nice about that.
We were at a bar. The sound's off. You know, we're drinking. I mean, we Ubered to this dive bar in Valley Park for a birthday party. So we're having a blast out there. And the fight's on, and I thought, you know, Tyson's going to have to knock him out in round one, or it's going to be over. And when he did not do that, but the judges felt like he won round one and maybe round two, I was actually surprised that he lasted as long as he did. But, you know, I don't know. It was a lot of just sort of standing around. It was a really boring fight. You know,
you're not buying into any of the... Okay, it was ESPN reporting this morning that there'd been some agreement that Tyson wasn't going to throw uppercuts or something like that. Did you hear that?
I don't know. Whatever.
No?
I mean, it's, you know, it's television, I guess.
It's a $20 million payday for Tyson, win or lose, right?
Sure.
Well,
it's Mike Tyson. I mean, he put a lot of people. If it's Jake Paul against Joe Schmo, I mean, nobody's going to watch it.
Nobody's going to watch.
It's Mike Tyson. I mean, the greatest fighter that I ever saw. And even at 58, I thought, be careful in this first round. Now, I mean, the man still can throw, and in that first round, if he catches him with one. But after that, I thought, you know, there's just no way. I mean, he's 58. I mean, whether he's strong or not, the endurance and lasting that long, you know, is very difficult.
The question now is, can Netflix handle the football games on Christmas Day?
Do not mess up football. You can mess up a Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight here and there because we all know it is what it is. It's an entertaining thing that we all streamed on a Friday night while we were doing something else. Do not mess up the NFL. You can't. It's too big of an audience. The football fans will come down.
Carl and
on your
I
heart.
Debated this earlier though. I know it's Christmas Day and it's the only football game that's on, right? At
it's
the
a
time.
Wednesday.
But still, doesn't matter what day of the week it is. Last time they did that, the NFL viewership was about 28 or 29 million for the game.
It was a Monday night.
That's half of what
$60 million.
That's half of
what
the $60 million
for the five.
They should be fine. The man is going to be half.
I'm just telling you, don't mess with football fans. they want their football, and they want it done right.
Yeah.
And they're used to it. You know, they're used to big network broadcasts with big budgets that do it right. Netflix is the original streaming service, is it not?
Right.
I mean,
right.
They should have this down. So get it right. They got some time, a little over a month to fix it. But yeah, it was not the greatest, but whatever. Again, we were having a good time, so we didn't really care. No. I can't fix the Blues. Hopefully Doug Armstrong and Drew Bannister can, or it's going to be over very quickly. Nice game against Boston. And then,
a great game.
The next day, they just don't do the same thing. There's no consistency there with the Blues, unfortunately.
Well, maybe they'll win tomorrow. Are they supposed to win against the Wild? Are they favored?
No, the Wild's a good team.
At this point, I'm not putting them above anybody. You know, they've got to show it to me now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Tommy, good luck.
All right, great to see you. Thank you. It's going to be fun.
We'll see you on Thursday.
We'll do another preview on Thursday.
We'll see what the line is on Thursday by Thursday.
See how nervous
Maybe
I am
we
by
set
then.
A side bet on that
I'm one. Wound up about this game. It's only Monday. All right. See you guys.
All right, buddy. Thank you. We appreciate that. No, it's good. So it ought to be a good football weekend. I'm looking forward to it. And Tom knows this. Obviously, I grew up in Ohio, and I'm a Kentucky fan, so I've never been an Indiana basketball fan. So I'll probably be rooting for Ohio State in that game. But I don't know if I'm willing to put any money on it if the line is 11. I think it'll be closer than
two
that.
Top 10 teams playing.
Woo!
When people say I have to call it the Ohio State, it makes me want to just that much
Throttle
more
them.
Just call it Ohio
yes.
State.
Yeah,
Go
Ohio
against
State.
That.
It's Ohio
it's
State.
It's their trade.
I don't
right.
care.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back in just a minute more on the first responder spotlight department for this week. Stay tuned.
This is your first responder spotlight.
Welcome back. We want to do our first responder Thanksgiving now and shout out to the fine folks in the O'Fallon, Illinois Fire and Rescue Department. We appreciate all that you do. Thanks for being there. They were founded back in 1891, and we love the 45 highly trained and dedicated volunteers spread out across your four stations. Thanks for all you do every day. We appreciate that. All right. We do this every Thanksgiving month, and that is honor our first responders. And I try to do it by giving back. I try to raise a little bit of money for them every year. Now, I'm going to encourage you to spend a little bit of money today because we're lagging behind a bit in sales on these tickets, and I don't understand why. I've checked the link. The link is working. Please go buy a few tickets. You have great prizes to win. We've worked all year to get these prizes together for you. This $2,000 rifle from the Range St. Louis West, thanks to them for all they do. This CMMG Descent 9mm 16-inch rifle with a folding stock. It's beautiful, and I hope you have a chance to take a look at that. I'll put a picture of it up on the Facebook page. The evening for 10 at the Lit Cigar Lounge. These are all individual prizes. We're going to have a total of three winners, and the person that gets that prize gets bottle service in the room, 10 people, cigars for the evening, a box of these Opus X cigars, which are really hard to get, a value of over $1,000, and then the basket of bourbon. This is the alcohol part of the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms raffle, and the bourbon basket is growing all the time. Today, I'm going to pick up the donation from my friends at Lore Wine and Spirits, and I'm sure that's going to have a lot of great stuff in there. The Four Roses, I'm looking forward to what they're donating as well. But I got Weller Antique 107. We got the Midsummer's Night. I say that every time. The Midwinter's Night Dram, which is hard to find these days. There's a bottle of that in there. I've got some Blanton's Gold. I've got Old Dominic Cask Strength Stolock Whiskey. They were nice enough to donate for our raffle. And Old Elk Cask Strength, the folks at Lit Cigar Lounge donated that. That's a barrel pick. There's about $1,500 worth of bourbon here, I would estimate. Plus, on top of all of that, my friend Tom has donated a signed Robert Thomas jersey from the Blues. Apparently a jersey, which is kind of hard to get, right, Carl? From
yes.
Canada? What you told me?
No, that was the bourbon, from
but
Wayne Gretzky.
The Gretzky bourbon. We got a bottle of that as well from Canada. So thanks to all of you that have donated. We couldn't do it without you. Here's how you enter. It's really easy. I couldn't make this any easier. They couldn't. Text the word responder to 33100, and you'll get a link right on your phone. Or you can go to our website at 971talk.com, or you can go to therangestl.com, therangestl.com. There are links up on all those sites. Responderrescue.org has got a link up at their site. If you're in the Range St. Louis West, you can buy the tickets right there while you're in the store. So please do. $10. They're a dollar a piece. You get 10 for $10. You get 55 for $50. So the more you buy, the more additional tickets you get. And we're going to pick three winners randomly. The computer picks them, not me, on the 27th at around noon out at the Range. So if you can help us out, we would greatly appreciate that. Kim, let me get back to the soundbite of the day. I want to play this again. This is Dr. Naomi Wolf talking about what she believes Pfizer knew when they started giving out these COVID shots back in 2021. This could be the soundbite of the week.
That's how many deaths there are in just 3 months of rollout.
1,225 within 3 months.
Correct. Pfizer knew by April of 2021 that minors' hearts were being damaged by the injection. They had warnings from the Israeli health ministry and also from a pediatric group. And rather than coming forward and telling all of us this is going to damage the hearts of minors, there was this freak out, and I recognize it from having been an advisor to a presidential campaign, a freak out conference where they're planning how to lie to the American people.
Wow. She's got a new book out, Dr. Naomi Wolf, and it is explosive, some of the allegations she makes in there. All right, we're out of time. We're going to get to Brian Kilmeade with the latest on nominations for the Trump cabinet and some of the controversies the left is trying to dig up on those nominees. I'm sure Brian will have the latest on that. Annie and Mark are in later today. We'll see you back tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.